Good evening, everybody. By way of introduction, my name is Father Fulton. I don't know how I'm a priest, honestly, and I hope you get your money's worth, because frankly, as every good priest in the Diocese of Lincoln, when you receive any money, you spend it right away. We seem to have a spending problem in our diocese, so I hope you enjoy what we've got this weekend. I've got a few house cleaning items. First things first, I know many of you are probably thinking of a certain sporting event right now, going on right now, and I do have an update. The Kansas City Royals are up 2-1 on the Arizona Diamondbacks. If you're thinking about the Huskers, they're up 21-3 apparently, too. I'll get into a little bit of a homily here in a bit, but this is supposed to be read at the beginning of every retreat. Please relate this to the retreatants. The doors are locked at 10 p.m. for everyone's safety. I'm going to extend that. I had a cup of coffee about 6:30 this evening, and I'll probably stay up late. So I'm going to lock the doors at about 11. Frankly, I love the fall. It's my favorite season. And if you want to go out and walk the grounds or whatnot after Mass, you're more than welcome to. I'll probably lock up at 11 tonight. Number two, it would be wise to remind retreatants that this is a silent retreat. Please take their conversation to... Nope, there is no conversation. Actually, there's a misprint also. There won't be any recreation or talking tomorrow night at dinner. We're just going to go for it. We're just going to go silent. And so please, it's kind of an act of charity, if you will. They always crack down. When the bishop comes out here and we have our retreats for priests in the summer, he always just hammers on us. That guy's a mean man. And he says it's an act of charity to remain quiet yourself, because really the Lord speaks to us in silence, which I'll talk about in a little bit. So please, you've invested money in this, or your parishes have invested some money in this, go for it. You know, turn off the cell phone, because in essence that's noise. Just get away for a little bit, and please remain silent. And for some reason, if you have to talk, come find me or whatnot, and try to remember that there are other people, and we don't want to break the spirit of silence throughout the halls. In the event of an emergency, the phone on the gift shop counter has instructions to reach Father Coulter. He's the caretaker here. We'll need a volunteer to ring the bell in the morning to wake everybody up. You're encouraged not to even use an alarm clock, knowing that alarm clocks are on our phones. We kind of go old school here. So if someone would like to sign up in the back sheet right where you guys came in, if someone wants to ring the bell, typically that happens at about 7:15 in the morning. Also, there will be coffee and cookies in the dining room tonight after Mass, and snacks will be available in the dining room. Bottled water and pop are available in the refrigerator, in the kitchenette, and the room on the southeast corner of the library over this way for an On Your Honor donation. Okay, very good. It's I have to admit, I'm a little bit humbled that you all are here. I've only been ordained 2 years. It seems like 35, but really I've only been ordained 2 years. Not too many people know me. So Al Zock, one of the managers here, asked me if I would do a retreat for the retreat house, and I said, sure. But I really didn't think that I would get anybody, and he said, you know, Father Fulton, if you get about 25, you're probably doing pretty good. And we got about 41, actually, and we have people, have someone from Texas here, someone I believe I met in Lawrence, Nebraska, back when I gave a day of recollection there. Got a few folks from, this is really touches my heart, that woman back there saved my dad's life, Val Abel. My dad had a motorcycle accident in 2011 when I was away from seminary, broke his neck, his collarbone, and six ribs, and you found him on the S-curves right by Talmadge, and if you didn't, he would not be alive today. So a couple folks from back home, Cindy Schillmiller is one of the reasons why I'm a priest. She was my vocations mom. Good people here from my current parish. There's one of my bosses, Kay Haffey, and many folks from St. Teresa's. I know that's a sacrifice for all of you. The feast day is happening this weekend, and the bishop is coming at 8 a.m. That's probably why he got away, actually. He gives long homilies. No, but it's good to have folks from my current parish, and then my former parish, Cathedral. You guys are the ones that basically birthed my vocation. You taught me how to be a priest and how to be humble, although I'm not good at it. You taught me how to forgive and that kind of thing. So it's good to see folks from all over. And if I don't know you, I apologize. There isn't more of an intimate setting than right here. And we will get to know each other in silence. Leroy Abel used to work with my dad back in the day at Cooper Nuclear Station, and Elmer Wemhoff's here as well. But it's good to see everybody, honestly. And I have a couple promises for you. I'll pray for you diligently over the next couple days. The Pink Sisters have offered their prayers for you this morning. I said Mass there, and I asked all the sisters to pray for all of you. And then also Pope John Paul II's personal bodyguard, his Swiss guard, is praying for you right now. He's actually a teacher of mine as I'm taking grad school through Catholic University of America, a guy named Mario Ensler. And he texted me this afternoon, asked me what I was up to, and I told him I was giving a retreat. And he knew darn well that he would need to pray for you guys because I'm probably leading you all a scandal. So he's praying for you too. Couple other things really quick before I get into the little quick homily for tonight. I've got a few things laying out just right in the back of the chapel. There's like two on each side of the pews. There's like two little tables. Feel free to take those. These are some of my favorite prayers. One is the prayer of St. Francis de Sales. Another one is by Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit that was with us in the 1940s and 50s and 60s. I'll probably say some of these prayers before the conferences that I give. Another one, this was kind of neat, that I received from a spiritual director of mine in seminary who's now currently the auxiliary bishop of Atlanta, Georgia, Ned Schlesinger. This is kind of like a personality profile. If you've ever taken a Myers-Briggs or anything like that, this is kind of a personality profile on how you pray the best. There's different types of prayer: Thomistic prayer, Augustinian prayer, Franciscan prayer, Ignatian prayer. Unfortunately, Bishop Ned didn't have like all the questions that go through so you can actually score, but you can kind of take a look at this, try to figure out how God created you, what passions are in your heart, and find out how you pray best, and maybe that helps you with prayer. And then also some other stuff. St. John the 23rd is one of my favorites. There's a daily Decalogue here. I'll just let you play with that. And then a couple of nice prayers from Pedro Arrupe, another Jesuit, and some good stuff there. So I always want to share those with folks, and if they help your prayer a little bit, that's awesome. Now, this weekend's retreat is going to be on prayer in desolation. I will admit it's not going to be like a cure-all. I mean, it's not meant, I don't believe prayer and struggling in prayer and the fact that sometimes it seems like God doesn't hear our prayer. At the end of the weekend, you aren't going to have like this cloud lifted, so to speak. Basically, it's designed as pragmatic prayer. For those of you that struggle with prayer, which I assume is everybody, because everybody struggles with prayer, that's basically most of the Bible. It's a struggle. We have to find pragmatic ways to persevere through prayer. And I will address that probably in four major sections, the conferences that are listed on the itinerary. I'll have specific things over Scripture and some pragmatic prayer tips to try to help you persevere as you kind of carry your cross in this valley of tears. Those will be addressed specifically again in the four conferences. The masses, I'll probably just preach, either on the Scriptures or something. But specifically, for perseverance in prayer, we'll talk about those over the four conferences. Also, during the four conferences, I took the liberty of making some kind of reflection questions for your aid. So as I'm praying, as I'm preaching, there might be a topic on prayer. Those questions are meant for your own personal prayer, to kind of look at, to review, to look at yourself, to be with our Lord, and really try to help you realize how you've been created by Him. Okay, so that's kind of how it'll go. It's interesting this gospel reading came about tonight. This gospel always kind of gets to me in a way. I gave a homily a couple weeks ago at St. T's, and I'll apologize. Some of the stuff that I'll give, maybe people at Cathedral have heard before, or people at St. T's have heard before. It's always good to hear again, honestly. I have this image, especially this time of year, of my mother. I left my hometown of Auburn in 1999, August of 1999, to move to the big city of Lincoln to study accounting. Accounting turned into finance and marketing, and finance and marketing turned into a degree, and a degree turned into a job at State Farm, and somehow in there, State Farm turned into the priesthood. And here I am with you. But I remember the change of seasons, and I can think back to that first day where I left the little town of Auburn and went up to Lincoln. And I can still see my mother, and it gets to me every time I go back home. I was just back home on Tuesday. That day, in August of 1999, Dad walked me out to my 1991 Dodge Shadow. He shook my hand, and Mom was in the little window at 1413 16th Street, up on the couch, looking out the window, sobbing, waving, and I got a look at her, and I admit, I got a lump in my throat, and I hurried up and turned north on O Street because I didn't want them to see me crying. And I headed down O Street, went down 136 and got out of Dodge and cried like a little baby on my way out of Auburn as I headed to the big city of Lincoln. I remember crying that day, and I remember that drive to Lincoln, moving to the fraternity where I lived during my college years. And I remember thinking about Mom's face, the tough times that we had growing up, the fights that we had. But I knew that I would be fine. Mom and Dad had done a pretty decent job of taking care of their wayward son. They had worked very hard to support the four Fulton children, myself included. And I tried like the Dickens to run away from it all, but I knew that Mom and Dad had done a good job. And I remember driving thinking, you know what, Justin, you're pretty scared to move to Lincoln, even though you really want to get up there and hit on the ladies and maybe find your wife and go out and make money in the real world. You're probably scared, but you're going to be fine. Mom and Dad have given you a good support system and have taught you well. And most importantly, they brought you to Jesus. This gospel reading reminds me of that every time that I look at this. It's unfortunate that there are a couple lines before here. In the Gospel of John, basically this is a characteristic in the Gospel of John. We have this guy, Philip, goes out and he knows Jesus, and then he goes out and gets his friend Nathanael. And Philip's one job is to get Nathanael to Jesus, and then all of a sudden Philip disappears. Philip goes out and gets his friend, brings him to Jesus, and then simply disappears so that Nathanael can dialogue and be with Jesus. How does that relate to each one of us here? For some reason, from Texas, from Auburn, from 36th and Randolph, 35th and Sheridan, West Cattleman Drive, all over Nebraska, we have been brought together for a couple of days of silence to be with each other and to simply be with Jesus. Who was it that brought you here? Was it a spouse, a friend, a priest, a nun? Was it the Holy Spirit working in your heart? Who brought about that grace for all of us to be here tonight? Is it one of your relatives passed away and now in heaven, supporting you, praying for you, that is with you right now? They have brought you to Jesus for a reason, and now it's up to you to simply be with him in dialogue. It's always good at the beginning of a retreat to enter into that silence, to make that investment so that you might receive fruit. Make that investment of silence, but also call upon your friends, relatives, and the saints in heaven to accompany you this weekend. Who was it that gave you your faith? Who was that nun in second grade that taught you the act of contrition? Who was that bishop that confirmed you? Who gave you your first communion? Who's bringing you here tonight? Look back in your life ask them to be with you and pray for you now, and then simply trust that you've been brought here for a reason, simply to be with Jesus and disappear with him into the silence. My prayer for each and every one of us this weekend is that we might conjure up good memories of years past, that we might see those faces, hear those laughs, feel those embraces of our friends and relatives who have brought us here tonight, to trust that we are here for a reason, but ultimately to feel the loving embrace of our Heavenly Father. May God bless us all.